You can let your mind wander across the Atlantic Ocean, wander, 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 as you head 3,000-4,000 miles to the east, and a couple of centuries back in time, to join Rabbi Moshe Bar Nachman in his Beis Medrash in Barcelona. As he's sitting there, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, we're going to join the Ramban as he begins to explore and teach us about the world of Karbanos and Chumash Vayikra. Rosh Chodesh happens to be a particularly propitious day, particularly apropos day to learn about Karbanos. He just said not long ago in the Musaf Davening that Mizbeach Chash B'Tzion Tachan exactly, and we said there that today is a day of Kapara. What is Rosh Chodesh even about? A little bit of a mystery. What is Rosh Chodesh about? So part of what Rosh Chodesh is about, it says in the opening lines of Rosh Chodashim, the bracha of Musaf for today, that today is a day of Kapara Zavonos, which makes a lot of sense, because today Rosh Chodesh is the most common Chatas Sibur ever. It is the Chatas, the Sa'ir of the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. Obviously, a Karban Talmud comes every day. The Musaf of Shabbos is the most common Karban Musaf that comes every week. But the Talmud is only in Ola, two Kvasim, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And the Karban Musaf of Shabbos is a double of the same thing, an additional two Kvasim for an Ola. The most common Chatas is the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh. So today is a day of Kapara. Whether or not that is captured in the fact that today is also the day that the moon starts growing again, and maybe that captures HaKadosh Baruch Hu's continuing to give us more and more chances, perhaps. But regardless, today is definitely a day that a particularly apropos day to focus our Karbanos. So let's do that right now. What we want to do is focus specifically on what looks like a very small detail. That as is a derech of learning Torah, so often you look at a small detail and it opens up a big window. The psukim are mostly organized in Chumash Vayikra around the different types of karbanos. There's a lot of discussion of karban ola of various sorts. You have ola of a large animal, of a small animal, a bird, and so on and so forth. The psukim talk about karban mincha. And then get into, we touched on a little bit earlier this week in learning about the Din of Zera. And then the Pesukim go on to other Karbanos, Shlomim and Chatas and Asham. But mostly it's organized by the different types of Karbanos. But there are certain ideas that the Chumash stresses that go beyond any one particular type of Karban. And one of those is salt. The Torah says, what you don't put on a Karban, the Torah says, what you do put on a carbon. Torah says you don't include any chametz, you don't include any sugar. Karbanos is supposed to be sugar free. Kol sa'ar v'chol devash lo saktir men yishel Hashem. It can't be. You can never be maktir. You never burn chametz on the mizbeach. All the carbonous mincha were not chametz. The only things that are chametz are the things that don't get burned on the mizbeach whatsoever. The Torah tells us that there's no sugar in a carbon, there's no chametz in a carbon, anything that's going to get burnt out of his bech is never chametzik. Many of the carbonous mincha were very thick. They were very, very thick. So Ashkenazi practice, Arminic Bechal, and Ashkenazi in particular, we have more standardized ways to make matzah for Pesach, to make sure it doesn't become chametz. We have a lot of added minhagim as siyagim, but strictly speaking, you can create non-chametz bread, which is quite thick. Mishnayos and Menachos talk about how thick lechem panim were. You can create everything that's burnt on mizbeach is not chametz. Everything that's burnt on mizbeach is not sugary. Then the pasuk says, here's something that you do add. This is something that you do add to almost everything that goes on mizbeach. Almost everything that goes on mizbeach gets salted. It gets salted. What's that all about? And not only does it get salted, but the Torah adds a key word. Here you see in front of you, Perek Beis Pasuk Gimel, the Dibur Maaseh, right here. V'los tashbiz melach baris alokach. Make sure not to be, to cause to be shoveis. Don't cease, don't stop the salt of the bris of your God. The salt of the bris, the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What? There was some contract with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that involved salt. Well, what's it all about? We understand bris milah. A bris means a two-way promise. I make an absolute promise to you, you make an absolute promise to me. That's a bris. Okay? So you find bris in throughout brisos, throughout Chumash Bereshis, different diplomatic brisos, different diplomatic treaties. And obviously you have the multiple HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kori's bris multiple times over the course of Chumash. He tells Noah there isn't going to be another worldwide destruction, and a bris with Avram Avinu, with the Avos, with all the Avos, a bris at Har Sinai, a bris again, okay, a bris with Kali Yisrael. What's the bris of salt? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu promise something to salt? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu promise something with salt? What? Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make any salt promises? Take a look, he quotes three approaches. Number one, Shabriz Krusel HaMelech Mishesh Mei Bereshis. First he starts by quoting Rashi. There was a promise made Laman to the salt. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a promise to salt. What promise did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make to salt? Mishesh Mei Bereshis. Where is that? What's that? Where does salt even appear in Mishesh Mei Bereshis? Where does salt appear in Sheish and Migrations? Okay, good by load. But Sheish and Migrations, going back further, Sheish and Migrations, where does salt even appear? It's a little bit tricky. The answer is salt, exactly. Salt. It doesn't directly appear, but the ocean appears. The ocean appears. So it says Rashi, there was a promise made to the oceans. There was a promise made to the lower waters on day two when HaKadosh Baruch Hu divides the water between the water that's on planet Earth and the water that's either in the atmosphere or out in the solar system. Or, the Ramban seems to indicate in Chumash Bereishis, Mayim Elyonim may be some type of deep Kabbalistic idea. I think it's in the context of Mayim Elyonim, the upper waters, the Ramban says, HaPeirush Asur Liyodav Sokol Shkei Lanu. Fantastic line. The shot in this is Asur, even to those who know it, and certainly to you and I. Like so many layers to that. This is such deep Kabbalah. Even those who are right to know it should know it. And you and I are not right to know it. Implication being. So whatever Mayim Elyonim are, whether it's something physical that we can point to, whether the atmosphere or out in the solar system, or whether it's some metaphysical idea of Kabbalah, whatever it is, the Torah says there was some sort of division of the water. There's water on planet Earth, and there's other water that's on a higher level, either literally up in the sky, or in Ruchnius, higher. So whatever it is, the Chazal describe that the water that gets left down here is tift. Where the other water gets to be in a higher madriga, and what's going to be with me? What's going to be with me? So who v'tuchu ha-mayim ha-tachtonim li-kar v'mizbeach b'melach v'nitzuch ha-mayim b'chad. Kadosh Baruch Hu at the time promises the oceans, don't worry, you're looking at the Mayim Elyonim, they're getting the better end of the deal. I promise you, you're going to have a special place in the Beis HaMikdash. Where? On Yom Tov, Sukkos. Chag is a term Mishnah Hebrew specifically for Sukkos. So Yom Tov, Sukkos, you have Nisuch HaMayim, all 7 days. Well, every day of the year, there's wine that's poured in the Mizbech. The 7 days of Sukkos, the Mishnah tells, at the end of Mesech HaSukkah, there's water poured on the Mizbech. And so there's going to be water, it's going to be brought in Beis HaMikdash, and there's going to be the salt that's brought, put on Karbanos every single day. Lush and Rashi. Yeah, question.
Why is being, if you hold that, it's from the waters in the atmosphere, why is that being better than the
higher? Why is that a higher madrega? Yeah. I'm not sure. That's a good question. That's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. let me ask you another question. I'm thinking about Rashi. And so you're asking what's the problem, which is a good question. What's the kasha? And I would ask you, what's the teretz? Bona niach in the other direction. Let's say he's saying, I understand the kasha, if Mayim Elyonim is some sort of hecher madrega, some idea of pi kabbalah, whatever it is, I don't know what it is, whatever it is, it's better. So then the kasha is, so what was teretz? You understand the kasha? So how the teretz answers the kasha? It's very nice. Nisach HaMayim Melech, what does that have to do how does that solve the problem of Mayim Elyon? So it could be, I'm not sure, but one can conjecture that what this medrash is capturing. See, in the footnotes, he doesn't seem to know what the source is, because he doesn't give you, footnote 5, he doesn't say where this medrash chacham is. But Rashi is quoting some work of Chazal that the Rabban was familiar with, and Rashi obviously was familiar with. It could be part of what's capturing is the following, an idea that the Talmud Bavli has as well, in Masechah Shabbos, I believe, around Peches maybe. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. The Gemara drives from Sukkim, the Parshas, that Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't so easy. Moshe Rabbeinu had to fight for the Torah. Or fight for the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give it. So the Gemara explains, Malachim put up a fight. Malachim said, well, what is this? Yalud Isha, a man born of a woman? Which is Chazal reminding us that human beings are born from women, and even the holiest of human beings are born of women. Probably part of what Chazal are stressing. It's stressing that the Moshe Rabbeinu was Yulud Isha. So Malachim say, Ptcheh, someone who is Yulud, and there may be more to it also. Yulud Isha is going to come and take the Torah. The Torah blows up here in Shammai. You're going to take it down and contaminate it on planet Earth. What are you doing? So the Gemara comments based on the Psukim that Moshe Rabbeinu is frightened. And he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, what do you want of me? Malachim say no. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm not going to take care of it, you take care of it. Rosh Hashanah says, I'm going to speak to Malachim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, hold on to Kisei HaKavod, and you'll speak to Malachim. The Gemara says, Moshe holds on to Kisei HaKavod, and he suddenly, sort of like we were learning Megillas Esther, there's that moment where all of a sudden Esther, like a switch flips, and suddenly Esther becomes, instead of the passive recipient of what everyone else is telling her, she becomes the driver. All of a sudden, Moshe Rabbeinu holds on to Kisei HaKavod, whatever that means, and suddenly he has a lot to say. And he destroys, in debate, destroys the Malachim. The Malachim concede. What does he say? He says, well, let's, you claim that Torah belongs to Shemayim, let's open up and take a look. It says, Ne'er Shemakach, Asher HaTesichem Eretz Mitzrayim. Were you ever Avadim? I didn't think so. Avodah Zarah. You interested in Avodah Zarah? He says, Kibbutz Avim. Do you even have parents? Lo Sirtzach, Lo Sinaf, Lo Signo. Who, what, when, where? Are you interested? You get into fights? Are you ever angry at each other that you have even a hava mina? You have a taiva to be violent? You have carnal desire and you have a taiva and a hava mina to violate me? This doesn't mean anything for you. The malachim can see and they send them down with their brachas. What does that got to mean? What's the hava mina? What's the maskana? What's the medubber? So I think Maral and many others, I think a lot of the Svam, the Rayan Agarata, explained in different nuschaos, but the basic concept of the Agarata is that what Moshe Rabbeinu is pointing out is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Torah is at its core, as Ramban writes in the Hakdama to Pirush Al Torah, at its core, the Chumash is, the Torah is divine chachma, which is beyond our ken. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to project and articulate the divine chachma in physical terms. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose to articulate the divine chachma in terms that can be actualized on planet Earth. That behavioral expectations, what a Jew is supposed to do, what a Jew is supposed to not do, how a Jew is supposed to feel, how a Jew is supposed to not feel, how a Jew is supposed to think, how a Jew is supposed to not think. The practical implementation of Chachmas Hashem. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is responding to Malachim. You're right that this is ethereal Chachma. But Kadosh Baruch Hu meant for it to be lived from planet Earth. It's not going to be, Torah isn't contaminated by bringing it to planet Earth. The Torah is actualized by bringing it to planet Earth. People can choose to contaminate it. We can choose to follow Yetzirah, and that's not okay. Absolutely. But we also can and are supposed to choose to follow Yetzer Tov and to actually do physical ma'isim in Olam Hazeh that actualize Chachmas Hashem in Olam Hazeh within the context of the physical world. That's probably also a part of why they're referring to him as Yulad Isha, which they're saying as a put down, and he's wearing it as a badge of honor. Yulad Isha means human being is born, a human being begins, human life begins with an act of tashmish, with a physical act, a carnal act. So, and Moshe Rabbeinu says, exactly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us not to run away from physicality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to live in the physical world in a disciplined way, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu laid out for us in the Torah. And through doing that, if we do it well, and if we live physically with HaKadosh Baruch Hu with discipline, then we elevate our Mekadosh. That's presumably at least a part of what that Agadah is capturing, in the big picture and in a lot of the details. And maybe that's also what this Agadah is capturing. In other words, what's the Havmi and what's the Maskana? So the Mayim Taftonim say it's not right, the Malmi Yomar are a higher Madrega. So either Mamesh, it's a Dava Ruchni, it's Pikabawa, Perek Beis of Yisodiyah Torah, the way the Rambam says, or it's Paragimel of Yisodiyah Torah, it's astronomical, at least like in a geographical sense, elevated. And are you asking, well, why is that a madrega to be up in the sky instead of down here on earth? It could be Stam Kavod. Usually things are higher, we, as a member of the Short People's Club. Right? So when things are higher up, we tend to often respect them more. But more than that, it is elevated, at least physically and symbolically, but literally also elevated away from the plane on planet earth where people are doing Averis. And people often being Nimshach after their Chomrius, rather than controlling, disciplining, and guiding their own chumras. And people, as around Mesillas Shabbos in the Paragraph, if I'm drawn after it, and my physicality is in the driver's seat instead of working for me, so that's a very, very sad place to be. So there is a lot of sadness, and there is a lot of contamination in Olam Hazeh. So the Ma'am Tachan would say, look, the Ma'am Leon, either Mamish, something metaphysical, pick up, or at least they're higher in the sky, they're away from the Tumah of Olam Hazeh. So what's not right? The Kadosh Baruch Hu is and the response is, yeah, but you have to be on the court. You're in Olam Hazeh. You're in Olam Hazeh where, yeah, in Olam Hazeh it's true, things can go wrong, and human beings can choose, unfortunately, to sully their Olam Hazeh, to contaminate their Olam Hazeh, and to drag it down. But Olam Hazeh is also the only place where you can choose to elevate things. You're not Olam Hazeh, you're not making choices, there's no opportunity to do this, there's no opportunity to elevate. And that's exactly what Rashi is saying. Alderach Drash. Oh, Bris Melech means that it's only water that's in Olam Hazeh that can be used for Hakrav El Gav Mizbeach. Even though there's a water in the ocean, what seems more farthest from a neshama? The water in the ocean is not even alive. It's not animals, not plants. It's totally inorganic. And yet even the water in the ocean, the water and salt, can mamish be Olam Gav Mizbeach. That such is the power of the Torah, such is the power of Klal Yisrael, who were gifted the Torah by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you can take everything, if you do it well, if you follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mitzvahs, even the water and salt can be Olal Gam Mizbeach. You can be Mekadosh everything if you live where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to live. And that's L'chor the first pshat. And he, Rabban says, Medrash Chachamim, not pshat, that's the approach al derech drash. Melech bris alokecha means a bris that Kadosh Baruch Hu made to the soul, and that captures this idea. We put salt in every carbon. That captures this idea that everything can be elevated if not something you say it's elevated. If you live al piya Torah, if you live with the discipline of halachas, then everything can be elevated. And then he quotes what's al derech pshat. It's not pshut al mikra. So he says, Reishav is Rabbi Avram, Ibn Ezra says al derech hapshat, and Ramban surprisingly disagrees. Rabbi Avram Amar al derech hapshat, hichnas ticham babris. Who was the target of the bris? HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris with whom? So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bris with us, with the Jewish people, about salt. What was the bris? Hishbach, Hishbach Ticha, I made you swear, Shalom Sakriv Tafel. You shouldn't be makriv bland meat. Tafel is the opposite of salty. You learn Yerdei, we learn Pasuk B'chalav, tell us different ways in which flavor can be transferred. The most common way that flavor is transferred is through heat. You cook things together, you put a piece of treif and meat in the chalent, chas v'shalom, so now the whole chalent is treif because the heat moves the flavor throughout. Another way for flavor to be transferred, even without heat, is salt. And the kind of discussion in Siman Tzadi Aleph and Siman Kuf Hei about salt, cold transferring flavor. So you talk about maliach and tofel. Maliach is something that's salty, and tofel is something that's bland, not salty. That's right. Even as it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with us. He made us swear that we're not going to offer basar tofel, unsalty meat. What's so terrible about being makriv unsalty meat in this bech? Unseasoned. You're a caveman. You're offering HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You take, you shecht an animal without seasoning, without spices, without any flavoring. Just put raw meat in this bech. What is that? You have to salt it. It's a bizayin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not going to salt the meat. We're not expecting to put oregano on. We're not expecting a spice rub. We're not expecting a marinade. Salt? As a matter of fact, as an aside, you're not allowed to. We just said, kol sar v'chol dvash, you cannot put on the marinade. But salt, you're mechuyev to put on, even as it says, it should, you should be offered HaKadosh Baruch Hu something bechavedet, something seasoned. Now, the Rambam is not happy with that. There are a number of reasons why you might not be happy with that. One is, where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make us wear this? Number two, really? Like, we talk about the brisin in Chumash, the brisos in Chumash. It's a bris about there won't be another worldwide extinction of the human race. There's a bris about, the eternality of Klal Yisrael. There's a bris about Klal Yisrael's eternal commitment to keep the Torah. There's a bris about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's granting Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael as an eternal nechas of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael will always be ours. Those are brisos. And then there's a bris about make sure you salt the karbanos. Certainly it's important. But there's no bris about make sure you wear tefillin every day. I mean, there's a general bris about all of Torah. But there's no specific bris about sitting in sukkah or putting on tefillin or giving tzedakah or not speaking Lashon Hara or not violating yichud. All of a sudden there's a bris about make sure you don't not mark of a carbon without salt. Seems a little bit incommensurate. And then there are other problems. Because Ramban knew his Tanakh. So he said, you find this elsewhere. Ibn Ezra tries to address. There are other places where that term is used, bris melach. Bavushuhu, bris de karbanos. Since there's a bris by karbanos, we have to put salt on. Ya'aseha kasuv zos habris, av l'chol habrisos. This becomes the archetype. This becomes the paradigm for any other bris. And that's why, by Matnas Kahuna, by Malchus David, the terminology is used, melach, bris melach. Bris melach, a bris of salt. Let's try a bris of salt. So even here he says, yeah, because there's a bris here by putting salt in the karbanas. That became a term. A salt bris means that this is a sturdy, durable bris. Ki ukayam ki bris melach be karbanas. They say, you're looking at Ibn Ezra over there, he gives a different shot. The Ein Tam L'Dvarav, that's probably a Ramban pun. Ein Tam L'Dvarav, he says, I find that very untasty. He said, well, what does that mean, really? That's what it means. Yeah. And again, Ein Tam L'Dvarav, number one, why should there be a bris specific on salt? Dvarim Begav, and not only is there a bris just for salt and karbanos, but then that becomes the classic bris, and any other bris referred to as a salt bris. Ramban says, some of these seem very off balance here. Ramban says, no. You have it backwards. He says, you have to look at one more detail. One more detail on both sides. What name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is used over the course of Parshas Vayikra? Hashem. Karbanos, you use Shem Hashem. You came up there. Here, it's Melach. You have the pasuk. Lo tash bris Melach bris Elokecha. All of a sudden, the Shem Elokim. We usually associate the Shem Yud Kevavke with rachamim and chesed, and the shein elokim with din. So Rabban says something's going on. It's a lot deeper. This is the tip of the iceberg, Rabbi said. Something a lot deeper than just salt and carbon. He says, you know what it means? He says it's backwards. Because it says here only the Shem Elokim, Lo Omer Bris Hashem, Kalashana Parsha, Kedar Kol Karbanos, in the larger paragraph here, and by all the Karbanos, you tend to find the Shem Hashem, or at least Bris Hashem Elokecha, a blend of the two. Ani so there, he says, Ibn Ezra has it backwards. It's not that there's a Melech, a Bris of assaulting Karbanos, and in the middle, all the other Brisim are named after the salting karbanos. No. Salting karbanos is step two. There's something called salt has significance. Salt has significance. A significance which is captured in using it to refer to brisos in general. And the salting of karbanos captures that significance of salt as well. It doesn't start with karbanos. It starts with salt. So it's not like Rashi says, Hashem made promise to the salt. That's true all down Rashi. It's not as Ibn Ezra said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made us promise about salt. But rather, as Ibn Ezra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a salt promise to us. What's a salt promise? And he saw there, the Indian the idea is as follows. Where does, you talked before, where can you get salt? You can get salt, you can mine salt from salt deposits, but more typically, certainly in antiquity, where do you get salt from? The ocean. So how do you get salt from the ocean? You stick in your salt shaker into the ocean, it comes out of salt? Not exactly. Right? So you have to somehow distill it. You have some fancy desalination, or you just lay out the water in a very thin layer, you get the water to fill a very wide, thin pool, a shallow pool, and then when it's hot, the water evaporates, and what's left behind is salt. So he says, here's the idea. He says that's a true physical fact that reflects and symbolizes a larger truth. And melach b'mayim, the salt starts in water. But if I heat it enough, let's say with sunlight, then I can extract salt. That's interesting. Hamayim betoldosam yirvohar yoli divas mikro. Water drives life. Water drives every type of life. There is no life on planet Earth without water. We're almost anywhere that there is water, there will be life. Water is a symbol and a physical, biological driver of life. Betoldosam yirvohar yolidu yatsmichu. Makes the soil fertile. It drives plant growth. It drives animal growth, it drives procreation, everything. Life is driven on planet Earth by water. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. Acharei heyosa melach, yachrisu kol makam, yisarfu, lo tizara v'lo satzniach. So that's fascinating. On the one hand, water drives life. On the other hand, salt kills everything. There's enough, the reason why the Yama Melach is in English called the Dead Sea is because nothing lives in it. Why is that? One body of water which nothing is, because it's so, it's such a high concentration of salt that no life can survive. There's plenty of life in the ocean. If people drink salt water, that's a really bad idea. But there is millions, tens of millions, who knows, untold millions of species of animal life and plant life that live in the ocean. But if the salt, once you concentrate the salt, it kills everything. If you strew salt over soil, you make the soil absolutely infertile. So he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides salt to us within the vehicle of water. That's a very, very powerful symbol. That in this salt water, seawater, can be a driver of life or an ender of life. Habris kalula mikol amidos. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris, he says, HaMelach, he says, salt water is a blend of water and salt, which is a blend of a life driver and a life detainer. But then also salt itself can go both ways. Melchitin tambachar macham utikayim. This achrit bim lichusa. Salt can be used as a preservative to keep food fresh and to therefore to enable the people with the preserved food to live. Salt, too much salt can also end life. It's hamelach kibris. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris. That means come what may. In good times and bad times, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is making a promise absolutely. And that says that the bris melach means that this is an eternal bris. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a bris melach of a malchus beis David, what it means is that this is malchus beis David is forever. Malchus beis David is a netzach. But not only will Klal Yisrael endure forever, but specifically that Malchus beis David will endure forever, and that captures the 12th Ikar and Emunah that we believe in Bias HaMashiach. And Malchus beis David is not going anywhere. It may be dormant, but it doesn't end. And that's what we mean. Kuhuna is forever. That's what we mean by a bris melach on the Kohanim. Kodesh Baruch will ultimately bring that Bais HaMikdash. We will renew HaKavos Karbanos with the Kohanim. That's the bris melach. V'lo sash bris melach bris elokecha. What that means is that the Karbanos are meant, he doesn't fully unpack it. And then at the end he says, he makes a reference to the last line. I already explained elsewhere out there, HaKabbalah, what else is going on here. But he does explain a little bit before. Let's wrap up by going back to the previous piece of the Ramban on top of page Yud Ches. He was talking about what he mentioned at the beginning, about Sa'ar Udvash, the discussion why did the Torah forbid adding chametz or sugar to the karbanos. And then the third line, right after footnote 1, Uvitam HaMelach Amar Gamkin Bavush Em Yimasu Oso V'lo Yakrivuhu Klal. The Yitachin, Ramban thinks, the Pshat and the Salt, She'eno Derech Kavod Lios Lechem Hashem Tafel Min Duli Melach. Maybe it's not Bechavadik, that the food that you're offering as a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu should be unseasoned, unsalted. Kita'am, Hakruvein Olatech HaSecha. That's a pasuk I believe in Malachi. Surprising that Rav Shagal does not footnote it. I'm sorry, he does in the star. The Gemara quotes that. The Malachi is saying to the Jewish people at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, he says, what? You're bringing a balmum? You're bringing a shvacha animal as a carbon that Kadosh Baruch Hu? Really? It's the best you could do? What you do? You're channeling your inner kayin, bringing garbage to Kadosh Baruch Hu? A pecha is a term for the governors of regions in the Persian Empire. So he said, would you bring it to the local governor? Would you bring it to a human politician? Such a unhappy specimen of an animal? That type of gift you would bring? Of course not. You're trying to create goodwill. You bring something beautiful. You bring something respectable. How could you bring something so unimpressive to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKriveil HaFechasech HaMalach. Try bringing that to the Pecha. He's not going to accept it. Kal v'chomer, you shouldn't bring it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Ramban says, maybe that's the pshat in salting karbanos. It has to be a davar chashuv. It has to be something respectable. You're going to offer unseasoned meat. Now you might be wondering, hey, one second. Didn't the Ramban, in the next piece, reject? That was what Ibn Ezra said. The Ramban rejected that. So it's more than just, you know, the meat shouldn't be blind. Shouldn't be blah. So what's the pshat? Pshat is Rabban is agreeing for now that the tam mitzvah of salting karbanos may have to do with it being making sure that what you're offering to Kadosh Baruch Hu is something with social cachet. Absolutely. But that would explain why you salt. That would not explain why there's a bris melach. A bris melach. That requires more than just saying, you know, here's a mitzvah to salt karbanos. And then the Rabban goes on to say, he says, that might explain, lefikach miyatu ha'etzim v'hadam. You do not have to salt blood before you sprinkle it on the side of the Mizbeach. You do not have to salt the wood before you put it on top of the Mizbeach. Not everything gets salted. If it has to do with seasoning, okay, no one, you know, season wood with salt. You don't season blood with salt. You season meat with salt. Okay. And you season baked goods with salt. If you were lucky enough to get some of the pastries this morning, before they ran out, so there probably is a very small amount of salt in them. Certainly, non-sweet baked goods, which is what the carbonates mincha are, will tend to have some salt. So the Rabban says, maybe the salt, the mitzvah of melicha, has to do with ensuring that what you offer to Kadosh Baruch Hu is a davar chashuv, it's a davar mechubad, or or there may also be a Kabbalistic layer to what's going on with this mitzvah of salting kabbalas. So that may explain why wood is different, why blood is different. In the previous piece that we were just reading, Pasuk Gidal, he didn't explain what the sod is. In Pasuk Yigimel, that we with which we began, with which we end, so he's giving us a little bit. He's not, you know, fully working all the details, but at least giving us a sense that salt captures the fact that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a promise, it's in all circumstances. It's in happy times and it's in sad times. And it's and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us are significant and are demanding, and we're going to have to be ready to Moser Nefesh to do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. And it's life-giving. And salt water, and salt in particular, sort of captures that paradox, both sides of the coin. The salt water is the primary driver of life in Olam Hazeh, and yet concentrated salt water done wrong, so to speak, can be an ender of life. And salt itself also can preserve food. So that's sort of a paradox, the two sides of the coin. So that's what a bris melach is, a bris that is forever, an eternal bris with Malchus Beis David, eternal bris with the Kohanim, and that is being captured in the salting of Karbanos. Now we come back and wrap up like this, to end where we began. So the Rabban rejected Ibn Ezra's approach to the bris melach, but he was warm to Rashi's approach al derech drash, as well as to the approach he gave al derech pshat. For both of them, this little, you said before, look at a little detail, it opens up such big, big vistas, such big, big ideas, such big, big windows. So al derech drash, it sounds like the bris melach captures our capacity to be mikadosh olam hazeh, that even the simplest, most lifeless seeming parts of olam hazeh, through the Koach HaTorah, we can be makvel gav mizbech. We can infuse everything with kedusha if we live properly. And al derech pshuto, it's the eternal, the durability of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's promises to us, and the durability, the high expectations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's expectations of us in our promise to Him. A lot going on. Just one little detail within the Parsha Vayikra, which remains a whole world of ideas. Okay,